TUC Radio, San Francisco. Time of Useful Consciousness. Arming the Heavens. The United States Air Force plan to place nuclear power and weapons in space. In January of 2005, the Air Force posted an updated version of the Transformation Flight Plan on their website. The flight plan is the culmination and progress report of a largely hidden development that began in the late 1990s. A precursor document is Vision for 2020, a 1996 report of the U.S. Space Command, which says that, quote, the medium of space is the fourth medium of warfare, along with land, sea, and air, and this will lead to, quote, full-spectrum global dominance. The flight plan also builds on the U.S. Nuclear Posture Review that now allows for the preemptive use of nuclear weapons. Space plays an ever-increasing role in these war plans. Even though the weaponization of space had already been planned by the Clinton administration, it is now becoming reality and an integral part of Pentagon war planning. Star Wars projects have returned, and in 2001, the Space Commission, headed by Donald Rumsfeld, demanded dominance of space in order to prevent what Rumsfeld called a space Pearl Harbor, a very troublesome parallel to the Pearl Harbor of 9/11. Space war games are already being held, and the budgets for space weapons spending show the weapons systems that are being developed. The 2006 budget for space weapons funds the Experimental Spacecraft System, Microsatellite Propulsion Experiment, Near-Field Infrared Experiment, Space-Based Interceptor Testbed, Directed Energy Technology, and the High Energy Laser. The Bush administration now has classified controversial programs such as the Space-Based Laser. The Idaho National Laboratory is stepping up plutonium production, apparently to fuel these new systems. Weapons deployed from space need huge power reservoirs on orbiting battle stations. Carl Grossman, author of the book Weapons in Space, comments on the issue of nukes in space.
A concern in the U.S. Air Force transformation flight plan has to do with how you get energy in space. And this earlier report, New World Vistas Air and Space Power for the 21st Century, says power limitations do impose restriction on space-based weapons. A natural technology to enable high power is nuclear power in space. Setting the emotional issues of nuclear power aside, this technology offers a viable alternative for large amounts of power in space. Well, one only has to jump back to the declaration of a former head of the Star Wars program, General James Abramson. Without reactors in orbit, there's going to have to be a long, long light cord that goes down to the surface of the Earth. You put all this together, all the background, all the development, the famous motto of one unit of the Space Command, Masters of Space, and then you look at this thick, multi-page Air Force transformation flight plan, and one has to see that this is a key document in what's happening.
That was Carl Grossman. He's professor at the State University of New York and narrator and writer of a video series called Nukes in Space. The anti-nuclear campaigner, Dr. Helen Caldicott, just happened to be in town while I was preparing this program, and I caught her between a meeting and her flight back to Australia. This is what she had to say.
The U.S. Air Force put out a document called the U.S. Air Force Transformation Flight Plan, which means that they're going to fight war in space and from space down to Earth. But, you know, it's interesting that they dominate society. They do what they want to do with impunity. They use our tax dollars to do it, and no one knows about what they're doing, and they're doing it in absolute secret. And when people find out about it, it's almost too awful to contemplate. People say, I don't want to be upset. But, you know, if we're not upset about it and we don't do something, we're all practicing passive suicide, and we hospitalise suicidal patients because they're in need of urgent treatment. So we are in terrible trouble, and this particular situation of the weaponization of space could indeed induce a global nuclear war and the end of all life on Earth.
Helen Caldicott is the director of the Nuclear Policy Research Institute and author of The New Nuclear Danger. This is a crucial moment for peace. If current policies continue, the U.S. will set in motion an arms race in space. Arming the heavens will raise the danger of confrontations in the atmosphere. The U.S. has declared that it will deny other countries and even some allies use of space and is building the instruments to do so. The Transformation Flight Plan is restructuring the U.S. Air Force to become a space war force. Here is a reading from that document by actor and activist Dave Lipman. He begins with the section on air superiority and a reference to Vision for 2020, the report of the U.S. Space Command that says that the medium of space is the fourth medium of warfare. The multicolored cover of Vision for 2020 shows a weapon shooting a laser beam from space and zapping a target below. Dave Lipman.
Air and space superiority. Five transformational capabilities the Air Force is pursuing support the air and space superiority capability from Air Force Vision 2020. They fall into three major subcategories: negating enemy air defenses, space superiority, and missile destruction in flight. The key to penetrating the next generations of advanced enemy air defense systems is producing systems that, 1, can negate these air defense capabilities, and 2, are survivable at all times and in all weather. This will be achieved by improved electronic warfare, various directed energy applications, both laser and microwave, and advanced space force application systems and capabilities. Space superiority. Space assets are critical to achieving information superiority as they, 1, enable predictive and dominant battle space awareness and C4ISR, command, control, communications, computers, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, integration, and 2, reduce the sensor-to-shooter cycle to minutes or even seconds. The United States cannot effectively exploit space for joint warfighting in these ways if it does not have responsive, reliable, and assured access to space, which requires achieving and maintaining space superiority.
That was Dave Lipman reading from the U.S. Air Force Transformation Flight Plan. Next is a section on missile destruction in flight, the infamous Star Wars program, revived by Donald Rumsfeld, and on the use of lasers and microwaves. Dave Lipman.
Missile destruction in flight. One key component of homeland defense, a key transformation objective of the 2001 Quadrennial Defense Review, as well as the homeland security concepts of operation, is the ability to protect the territorial United States from missile attacks. Therefore, the Air Force is pursuing the detection of ballistic and cruise missile launches and destruction of those missiles in flight. At present, the usual option to affect a target is to destroy it with a kinetic weapon. By creating effects short of total destruction, the United States could conduct more precise effects-based operations that match capabilities to desired effects. Directed energy weapons, both laser and microwave, are the key to this capability. The Air Force's Directed Energy Master Plan summarizes ongoing Air Force directed energy efforts for both laser and microwave and articulates its strategy to develop and transition directed energy applications for the full scope of mission, such as precision engagement, information superiority, space superiority, and ballistic missile defense. It also identifies 6 directed energy science and technology programs that would offer near-term transformational capabilities to the Air Force if funding were accelerated.
The next segment from the Transformation Flight Plan describes the need for rapid global mobility and the space technology and strategies already used in the war on Iraq.
Rapid global mobility. The immediacy of terrorist and other asymmetric threats to U.S. interests at home and abroad, as well as the fleeting, often ephemeral nature of emerging targets, demands the timely deployment of U.S. military forces anywhere in the world. The United States must be able to rapidly respond globally to support the full spectrum of operations. Quick and effective military response allows the United States to reach out and influence events around the world. Achieving rapid global mobility will require that American forces become increasingly more responsive, deployable, agile, versatile, lethal, survivable, and sustainable. It will also require achieving the following transformational capabilities: rapid establishment of air operations, an air bridge, and movement of military capability in support of operations anywhere in the world under any conditions. Responsive launch and operation of new space vehicles and refueling, repair, relocation of future on-orbit assets. Significant advances during Operation Iraqi Freedom. Preliminary unclassified lessons learned analyses from Operation Iraqi Freedom indicate that the Air Force achieved significant advances in many of the capabilities described in this chapter since Operation Enduring Freedom, as well as improvements in joint war fighting. Key examples include time-sensitive targeting. Operation Iraqi Freedom demonstrated the Global Hawk unmanned aerial vehicle's ability to handle dynamic tasking with actionable intelligence to reduce sensor-to-shooter times down to minutes, though not yet single-digit minutes. Predator unmanned aerial vehicles also enabled time-sensitive targeting via streaming videos to strike platforms. Special Operations. Operation Iraqi Freedom was a coming-out party for Special Operations Forces. During Operation Iraqi Freedom, as well as in Afghanistan, they operated in and targeted within large areas with small forces. They were a light yet lethal mobile force and were truly joint in how they operated. Unprecedented command and control. Operation Iraqi Freedom demonstrated that with the right training, technology, organizations, and concepts of operation, U.S. forces can command and control warfare better than ever before, and produce decisive effects faster, farther, and with greater precision than at any time in the history of armed conflict. Operation Iraqi Freedom also demonstrated the incredible effects that advanced technology exploiting this unprecedented command and control could have on the battlefield. Weapons conceived in the 1970s and 1980s and fielded in the 1990s are now having a revolutionary effect on combat. Integration of space operations at the strategic, operational, and tactical levels. For the first time, the Air Force designated a space coordinating authority in the Combined Air Operations Center, bringing a senior space advisor and his reachback support network to the Combined Forces Air Component Commander's leadership team.
The U.S. Air Force Transformation Flight Plan also contains a very revealing report on Air Force science and technology. There's mention of placing so-called energy spots on any target on Earth and striking at any time within minutes, the need for huge quantities of heat, the desire to strike with any measure of force from, quote, tap on the shoulder to toast. Research is also done in new explosives, nanotechnology, and within the electromagnetic spectrum. Dave Lipman.
Long-term Air Force science and technology efforts in this area are exploring various promising possibilities to achieve real control of battle space effects. For example, the Air Force is beginning to understand how to create temporary and even reversible effects. Air Force science and technology is also exploring the possibility of putting a warning energy spot on any target worldwide that could be rapidly followed with varying levels of effects. This could significantly enhance the value of conventional deterrence to the President, the Secretary of Defense, and the Joint Force Commander. Another area of possible breakthrough deals with solid-state directed energy for laser and microwave. If the generation of large quantities of heat could be managed, the Air Force could develop highly effective, cheap, high-power energy weapons. The Air Force is also looking for ways to provide measured global force projection via high-powered microwaves, HPM. Within HPM, it is investigating how to enhance the lethality of HPM systems, conformal array antennas, in order to put these systems on tactical platforms, and air breakdown mitigation, the physics of propagating HPM through the atmosphere. The service is also identifying enabling technologies for directed energy for from tap on the shoulder through to toast against those we wish to coerce. In addition, the Air Force is aggressively identifying areas of application of an extremely high-density material recently unveiled by Air Force research, N5, the first new stable compound of nitrogen discovered in over 100 years. Combining N5 with tailored shape munitions manufactured from nanoparticles, whose virtually all surface structure yields unprecedented burn rates and extreme explosiveness, promises far greater control of battle space effects than previously imagined. Sanctuary. The U.S. military must be able to protect its total force from natural and man-made hazards or threats, allowing it to operate anywhere with the lowest risk possible at affordable costs in an increasingly dangerous environment. The Air Force is exploring new abilities to assure rapid, cheap access to space to provide much more flexibility for protecting increasingly important space assets. It is also looking at how to provide an invulnerable force protected from both natural and man-made threats. Areas of research within electromagnetic spectrum manipulation include stealthy materials, camouflage skins, active camouflage, and dynamic jamming. The Air Force has also begun work in nanoelectronics to enable more versatile payloads that could be air-launched for rapid, cheap space launch, as well as swarms of unmanned aerial vehicles and unmanned combat aerial vehicles of the future. The potential appears limited only by the rate at which the Air Force is choosing to progress in spiral advances toward greater sensing, time on target, and destruction capability for less weight, delay, and cost. The promise for the future is a ring of awareness, then protection, then safety around sites of our choice, or denial of the same to an adversary. Rapid air and space response. There will always be political and policy reasons to go forward. It is for this reason that the ability to plan and move quickly anywhere in the world is critical to the effectiveness of military power. An aspect of rapid air and space response is access to space. Air Force science and technology is looking at ways to collect or generate large quantities of energy in orbit in order to rely on space-based platforms for more missions and provide a greater degree of true global presence. This would change many equations about traditional ideas of rapid response. In addition, the Air Force is pursuing research to enable rapid global reach. One key area of basic research is in advanced structural systems, which includes research in adaptive structures, structural efficient materials based on beryllium, magnetic flow paths and nozzles, and lightweight, high-temperature structures. Air Force science and technology is also engaged in plasma dynamics studies that have already demonstrated significant air drag reduction on vehicles and missiles. If such plasmas can be generated with sufficient energy efficiency on leading edges of aircraft or missiles, they can significantly increase range and reduce time to target and fuel consumption. Pulse detonation rockets may increase payloads by up to 50% in boost, upper stage, and orbit transfer, all at increased reliability. Effective air and space persistence. Closely linked to the ability to respond is the military imperative to persist once there. Persistence applies to the ability to keep an adversary at risk in his own territory for as long as necessary to do air and space occupation. While this is possible today under certain circumstances, Air Force science and technology is focusing on how to achieve this in all circumstances, anywhere on the globe, in air and space, against all potential threats. Some areas that long-term Air Force science and technology is examining include 1. On-orbit maintenance, repair, and upgrade of space systems to enable true persistence. 2. Recovering space vehicles on demand to protect space assets as well as to improve the currency of technology in space. 3. Routinely operating at 30 to 70 miles above the Earth to give the Joint Force Commander unparalleled operational flexibility and persistence at very low risk. And 4. Dramatically reducing the time to move anywhere on the globe from the continental United States, not only to make dramatic improvements to America's ability to respond, but also to create many opportunities for ways to persist. In addition, access to space is one of the areas the Air Force is researching within this long-term challenge. Various architectures are being studied for future constellations. This research would include satellite clustering, adaptive satellites, micro, nano, and picosatellites, and miniature satellite and mechanical systems.
That was a report on Air Force science and technology from the U.S. Air Force Transformation Flight Plan, published in January of 2005 and largely ignored by the media. The most troublesome aspect of these projects is the planned use of nuclear material in space. Nuclear energy is needed to power many of the space systems. And as an instrument of politics, nuclear power has been redefined by the Bush administration in a very troublesome way. The flight plan refers to the U.S. Nuclear Posture Review of 2001 that now allows for the preemptive use of nuclear weapons, even against conventional forces and non-state actors, commonly called terrorists.
Nuclear response concepts of operation. The congressionally mandated Nuclear Posture Review, completed in December 2001, put into motion a major change in Department of Defense's approach to the role of nuclear offensive forces in its deterrent strategy, and presents a transformational blueprint for a new strategic posture. The Nuclear Posture Review established a new triad composed of offensive strike systems, both nuclear and non-nuclear, defenses, both active and passive, and a revitalized defense infrastructure, all bound together by enhanced command and control and intelligence systems. As a vital element of the new triad, the nuclear response concepts of operation link nuclear strike forces with command, control, information, and adaptive planning capabilities to jointly defeat the enemy through a variety of nuclear attack options and to reestablish deterrence upon conflict termination.
After describing this apocalyptic view of war in and from space, the Transformation Flight Plan ends with a paragraph of shocking cheerfulness and an optimistic embrace of such deadly technologies, reminiscent of Stanley Kubrick's film, Dr. Strangelove, and How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb.
Conclusion. It is an exciting time for the Air Force. It is engaged in developing new strategies and new concepts of operation to meet an entirely different set of challenges and vulnerabilities. Technology is creating dynamic advances in information systems, communications, and weapons systems, enabling the joint commander to understand the enemy, plan and deploy forces, and deliver more precise effects faster than ever before.
You heard a reading from the Air Force Transformation Flight Plan, a 178-page document posted on the U.S. Air Force website in January of 2005. While by now over 160 nations via the Outer Space Treaty are united in trying to preserve space for peace, the U.S. is violating that very treaty by openly planning to place nuclear weapons and reactors in space. Aware of the plans of the U.S. to weaponize space, the General Assembly of the United Nations voted in November 1999 to reaffirm the Outer Space Treaty via the resolution entitled Prevention of an Arms Race in Outer Space. Only two nations then declined to support this bill, the United States and Israel. The resolution reaffirmed that the, quote, will of all states that the exploration and use of outer space, including the moon and other celestial bodies, shall be for peaceful purposes and shall be carried out for the benefit and in the interest of all countries, end of quote. The passage of the resolution is significant because it reflects the growing consciousness that a global democratic debate must now ensue if we are to keep space from becoming the next area of military warfighting, as the U.S. Space Command envisions. I asked Helen Caldicott to comment.
The Outer Space Treaty is a treaty that was organized by the United Nations, and it says that outer space, or space per se, is a global commons. reminds me of when we used to have villages and there was a common in the centre of town that belonged to all people. And so space belongs to all people on the earth. So that I'm in Australia looking up at the Southern Cross saying to my grandson, look, Mickey, there's the Southern Cross. And then I say, oh, look, Mickey, there's an orbiting hydrogen bomb. And that's really what it's going to be about if we allow this obscene program to go ahead. We all own space. It's ours. And we also own the moon. And America is moving quite rapidly to want to mine the moon and own the moon. So this country, which is 5% of the Earth's population, wants to dominate the whole planet. And it has absolutely no right to do that. So I advise you all to get really well informed, find out what's going on, and then rise up and use your democracy, the land of the free and the home of the brave. You've got to be brave now to save the planet.
That was Helen Caldicott, nominee for the Nobel Peace Prize and director of the Nuclear Policy Research Institute and author of The New Nuclear Danger. She's among the small group of activists and observers who have kept up with this underreported issue, such as Carl Grossman, the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space, the Center for Defense Information, and the Western States Legal Foundation. You heard part two of a one-hour program on the U.S. Air Force Transformation Flight Plan, a plan that reveals how the Air Force plans to weaponize space. The reader was Dave Lipman, social critic and activist. He's using music and comedy to get his message across. He performs as the world's only known singing CIA agent, George Shrub. You can find links to the full text of the Transformation Flight Plan and to the organizations that oppose the weaponization of space on TUC Radio's website, www.tucradio.org. That's tucradio.org. Look under newest programs. You can get information how to order a copy of the complete one-hour reading on Arming the Heavens by calling us. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations. Your tape or CD order is the only support we receive and helps us stay on the air. Call us toll-free anytime at 877-TUC-TAPE for information on how to order. You can get your tape or CD by mail or credit card, by phone or on the web. Our toll-free phone number 877-TUC-TAPE translates into 1-877-882-8273. My name is Maria Gelöden. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.